From the gorgeous confines of Melbourne, Australia, across the USA and 61 countries spanning the globe, Expat Progressive Radio presents The Bill Show with Bill and Randall. Now fasten your seatbelts, kids, because here are the loudest fat lefties on the net, Bill and Randy.
And welcome to the Bill Show number 124 with my.
That's my job to say what number it is. Sorry. That's okay. Welcome to the Bill Show with Bill and Randy and Witches. We have our happy pills this week.
No, I've got my happy pills.
It was such a downer. A downer last show.
The last show was a bit of a downer.
I mean, there was fun and rainbows because of SCOTUS approving marriage equality. But Yeah, Charleston just...
It was wonderful.
It was a big downer, yeah.
It was. But we are back to it, folks, because, of course, while we're away, we had the Independence... By the way, happy 4th of July, America!
Yeah, Independence Day! The day that you signed the Declaration of Independence.
That's right.
Which is really the 2nd, 3rd, and 4th of July, because they were slow. Yeah. But you know why John Hancock... signed first and was really big, and everybody else had to be small?
Because he wanted King George to be able to read it without his glasses.
That's right.
Thank you very much.
Yes, so that's why they say put
anti-American
your
my ass. I know my American history.
Put your John Hancock here. That's where that came from.
Someone came up to me, who listened to the broadcast because obviously they have nothing better to do, and they came up to me and they said, "Bill, why are you so anti-American?"
Anti-American? You're not anti-American. I'm not anti-American. American. We might be critical, but it's constructive criticism.
It's within the family.
Yeah, but the point is that we're giving a perspective from the bottom or half a world away of what America looks and sounds like to the rest of the world. Now, believe it or not, that's a perspective that most Americans can't grasp.
Yeah.
They just have no idea.
And we didn't. I'll tell you something. I didn't grasp a lot of it. And I'm not down on America at all.
No.
I'm just finding, actually, the thing that probably is the way America has changed in the last 30 years since we've been there. The America I grew up in doesn't exist anymore. You know?
I've been here for 40 years, and I find America totally foreign.
No, I don't. I can get into it.
I still speak the language.
You give me a week in Boston, and I'm... Yeah, I'm talking.
Are you a mass hat?
I'm talking like this.
A mass hole?
Yes. Hey there, Sammy. How you going?
Yeah, pack the car and have it yet.
God bless you, Carla. You swear
to
God.
Cheers. It's got a cheers.
Oh, no. I listened to the environmental secretary under Obama, and she's from Boston.
Boston.
Yeah, she just let me tell you something.
Yeah, she sits there every morning and irons her vowels flat. There's the A's.
Yeah, absolutely.
There's the E's.
Yeah, it's such an incredible place once you get into it. Hey, listen.
I've never been to Boston.
You've never been to Boston?
But, my daughter, Rebecca, lived there for 6 months and went to Boston College.
She did?
Yeah. Actually, she said, Dad, get on the internet. Get on the webcam for O'Neill Plaza. And it was, of course, snowing and everything. And there she is doing this in O'Neill Plaza. So here, and I took a screenshot. So, you know, that's the power of social media.
The power of social media is amazing. Hey, listen.
It happened to be the middle of the night.
Well, listen. I'd like to start us off, as you know.
You're going to start us up.
I want to start us off with what's been going on. That's right. We have music coming in right about now. That's our news.
We'll fix it in post.
Fix it in post-grade music. We've had some fantastic things happen since July 4th in the race to become president of the United States.
Is it really a race?
Not yet.
It's just
now it's kind of a crawl.
Well, it's kind of a
Donald
stumble.
Donald Trump's ass.
it's kind of a stumble. I don't know. The clown car's like, it's too full.
But, you know, yes, that's right. 16 candidates, ladies and gentlemen.
And only 10 can go on the debate. So that's basically when the wheat and the chaff part ways.
Based on the fact that Donald McDonald has insulted every Mexican.
No, every person.
I swear to God, this guy is the... Bill Maher said it. He is the id of the Republican Party.
But his numbers went up immediately.
It did. He's number two.
As soon as he played the racist card,
yeah.
All the white supremacists, everybody... Trump. Yeah.
They all love him. Anyway, listen, July 3rd, 2016, though, there was a story in the Huffington Post.
July 3rd, 2016.
2015,
yeah,
sorry.
Have you been using that time machine again? I told you. I thought Emmett Brown took it with him.
You know, it's, I don't know.
It's a science experiment, Marty. We want time travel. When do we want it? It's irrelevant.
Yeah. This story is Mitt
Romney. Are you talking about July 3rd, 2015?
Yes, I am.
Okay.
This story, you torment me, don't you?
You love
it? I don't love it. This story...
I'm not going to say
no, that's anything.
No
okay.
dead air. Okay.
This story, Mitt Romney invites Marco Rubio... Fuck!
Like hominy.
Mitt Romney invites Marco Rubio and Chris Christie to a holiday sleepover at their New Hampshire vacation home. I don't know.
He's got vacation homes everywhere.
Yes.
So they're coming for a holiday sleepover.
They're coming to
Mitt, Marco, and Chris.
I'm thinking a sitcom. Well, I'm thinking there is a sitcom in this.
Is there going to be s'mores?
No, I'm thinking...
a little campfire?
Kind of a Three's Company thing. Real sitcom vibe, you know that? And basically, the truth is, Randall, and I didn't know whether you knew it or not... I am revealing this to you as a secret. There is an actual secret recording.
Like the 47%?
Yeah, like the 47% recording. There's a secret recording of Chris Christie, Marco Rubio, and Mitt Romney together. And they're in actually a lot of a trouble now that Trump has gotten into the race. And
wow.
They did this recording. And
Romney's coaching them.
Yeah, I believe ABC News had this, and this is the recording. Oh. That just hit the wire just before we went on today.
Could damage their reputation.
Could damage their reputation.
Is there any reputations left to damage?
I don't know. Here it is.
We're in a tough spot, men.
Yeah, it's going to take brains to get us out of here.
That's why I said we're in a tough spot. Shut up. This is no time for singing. Let go of my arm. Why, you? What's the matter with you?
Why
you?
No! Yes, and that's the
wise guy.
Trump's in the race. Trump? No, I'm not.
Yeah.
Why you?
Anyway, there.
Oh, look, Champagne.
Christie's sitting there in front of the fridge, going, "Hey, this guy knows how to shop."
Yeah, more s'mores. That's what they're called, s'mores. I want s'mores.
Yeah. I was like sitting there in bunk beds, all three of them, and then in the middle of the night, you hear this, you know, it's just like Christie. Jesus Christ!
You fat.
Now listen, Christie has to be really nice to Trump because Trump owns probably half of New Jersey, doesn't he? Certainly the
Atlantic City. He does. Actually, there is something that's going on in New Jersey right now. This is off the. Thank you. Good segue.
It's the running sheet.
It does
it to me every time.
Yeah, the transmitter of the running sheet. Already vying around 13 other Republicans for the party's presidential nomination. New Jersey governor. It's 16 now. 16 now. This is off the HuffPost.
I bet you he's going to sit on Jindal and kill him in the back seat of the clown car. Chris Christie will sit.
I can't breathe.
New Jersey Governor Chris Christie may have to face another challenge during his bid to the White House. Hessian state legislator. Two Democratic state senators are working on a bill that would require the state's governor to resign in order to run for president, which would force Christie to give up the remaining 2.5 years he's left in his term if he wants to keep his bid going. You see, the thing about Christie, he was easily elected for a second term in 2013, but his approval rating has kind of dropped. Yeah, kind of. Like 30 percentage points.
Oh.
And when asked whether people in New Jersey think that Christie would make a good president, a vast majority, 67%, said no. Those are the people that live in New Jersey.
But the point is like, he's not going to be there for the next 2.5 years if he's running for president.
No.
At least up until the primaries.
No, they should be made to do that.
They all should.
Yes. Yes, and plus Trump is scaring everybody. I mean, he's just this bomb thrower. He doesn't give a shit because
but
it's
his
him.
Bombs are good and they're working.
Well, he's appealing to the real dark id about, and there are only two. You know what I hate is when they try to put Trump in with Bernie Sanders, because Trump's
as threatening the high ground.
Trump's a clown.
Yeah.
He's a fucking sideshow
attraction.
Bernie
Sanders has 25 years of experience.
Bernie Sanders has 35 years experience in the Senate, and he hasn't changed his policies for the last... I mean, he's been talking about the TPP for 2.5 years, and we've been talking about it, him talking about the TPP on this show.
He's coming
yeah.
from...
Trump just finished wiping himself and walking erect this morning. Yeah. You know, I mean, sorry, you know. And now, one of the things is actually when Trump came out... Today he came out this about immigrants.
Oh yeah, the great Hispanic tide.
Yeah,
that runs all the way back to the Middle East.
Yeah, he's
wow, wow. Trump's not just Mexicans and South Americans and Central Americans.
Yeah,
they're from the Middle East as well. And how can you tell? Because they're all dark.
Yeah, that's right. So Trump really tapping into that good part of the Republican Party.
Oh, the good old boys. Yeah.
Now. Some of the people, according to the Associated Press, some Republican donors are concerned about the possibility of infighting during the debates on Friday.
You're
Rick Santorum. No, they're not. They're not kidding.
Rick ganging up on Donald.
Yes.
But he'll just buy them. Isn't that what he threatened?
No, I think that everybody is really afraid how having Trump on the debating stage will kind of reveal the Republican Party to be a clown show,
yeah.
Which it is.
You're fired.
Yeah, that's
You're
it.
You're fired.
On Friday, Rick Santorum's personal banker, Foster Freeze, he sent a letter to all Republican candidates as well as the Republican National Committee advising that people keep things civil. Freeze also said two other top donors, Sheldon Adelson and Tony Todd Ricketts, who are the owners of the Republican Party, basically telling them to tone it down. In fact, the head of the Republican Party, Rance Priebus, actually called up Donald Trump. This is what I have from the report. Someone in the party ought to start some sort of petition saying, if Trump's going to be on the stage, I'm not going to be there with him. I'm toying with the idea of it. Now, that's a worker for Rick Santorum who said that. So it
Ooh.
Looks... Yes. So it looks like...
he's not going to be there anyway, what does he care?
Well, Ricky. Yeah, well, Ricky. Yeah, that's right. I think Ricky's like a 2%.
He won't be the top 10.
No, he won't. But Trump will. I mean, that's hilarious.
He's already number 2.
Yeah, I know. So, listen, in honor of Donald Trump, who God knows...
In honor?
I don't know. I just...
You're pulling a long bow, aren't you?
I am. But let me tell you. I was looking through Seth Meyers. Now, I'm not a real fan of Seth Meyers, but I did love one point of thing is when I was researching something to play on Trump during the press banquet, the nerd prom 4 years ago, he was running. He was talking about Obama's birth certificate and he was threatening to run for president. And then Seth Meyers, literally, when he was in the room, I mean, Trump's sitting right in front of him. Seth Meyers did two of the most vicious minutes on Donald Trump
I've ever seen.
I have them right now.
Oh, my goodness.
So to brighten up an otherwise dreary day, here's from the 2011 Correspondents' Dinner, Seth Meyers doing a two-minute rant with Donald Trump sitting in front of him. Here it is.
And then, of course, there's Donald Trump. Donald Trump has been saying that he will run for president as a Republican, which is surprising since I just assumed he was running as a joke. Donald Trump often appears on Fox, which is ironic because a fox often appears on Donald Trump's head. If you're at the Washington Post table with Trump and you can't finish your entree, don't worry, the fox will eat it. And if I can for a moment talk about the birther issue, when did we get so suspicious about where people were born? A USA Today poll last week said 38% of Americans think the president was definitely born in the U.S. In the same poll, in the very same poll, only 5% more said Donald Trump was definitely born in the U.S. Has it reached the point where Americans only think something was someone was born here if they saw it? I know I was born here, and I know my younger brother was born here. But when it comes to my older brother, I can only take him at his word. Gary Busey said recently that Donald Trump would make a great president. Of course, he said the same thing about an old rusty birdcage he found. Donald Trump owns the Miss USA pageant, which is great for Republicans because it will streamline their search for a vice president. Donald Trump said recently he has a great relationship with the blacks, though unless the blacks are a family of white people, I bet he's mistaken.
Yes, there it is. Seth Meyers with Trump right in front of him. And by the way, that last joke is my favorite.
Yeah. Do you think it must be if he's got black friends, they must be white.
I don't know. I wonder if he has fox friends. If he gets lost in a forest, do you think, you know, some randy marsupials might find him attractive?
Look, I don't know. Do you think he turned red when he was being humiliated?
No, he just literally said, you watch the video. It's available on YouTube, by the way.
He just
glowered through the entire thing.
Because he gets ruddy and red when he's impassioned.
Yeah.
Is that a bad word to put
ruddy and red?
Yeah, with no impassioned.
Impassioned.
Does Donald Trump ever get impassioned?
Well, I don't ever.
When he gets,
I don't ever want to see that.
not rampant.
You over here? I'm impassioned.
Yeah.
Lie down.
Which wife are you? Which wife are you? Okay.
Which wife are you? Yeah.
Yeah.
I always try to number them.
Oh no. All right.
Let's see her. She's barely dressed, but she's class. Hey, listen, we have some numbers, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah, can I have some news theme, please?
Fix the post.
No, it's the news theme. Here we go. There it is.
Now you're going to like this.
There it is. We have the most recent Real Clear Politics numbers from states with people that you don't care about. The numbers in New Hampshire are the following. In the Democratic Party nomination and procedure, Clinton is at 43%.
Wow.
Sanders, 35.
He's only 8 behind.
He's only 8 percentage points in New Hampshire behind Hillary Clinton. Joe Biden, who's not running, got 8 points because people like
him. And when he just stops running, guess where the points are going to go?
I don't know.
To Boyne.
The Boyne.
Yeah.
So if we add those 2 points.
Those 8 points, they're neck and scrawny neck.
O'Malley, 2 points.
Who's O'Malley?
Webb, I have no
Martin idea. O'Malley?
Martin O'Malley.
You know, when we took that test, I was thinking whether we should give the test to the people out there.
What test?
Who do you prefer? You know, you and I took that test online.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Yeah.
There's a test online. We'll put it on the Facebook site.
Yeah.
Which you can actually say, look at the issues and find out who
you guns and abortion, all that sort of stuff. Find out who you prefer.
Yeah. I think yours was Cesar Chavez. And
no,
I was Vladimir Ilyich Lenin.
No, we both got about 97% and 98% for Bernie Sanders.
Yeah, we're Bernie Sanders folks.
And you had 80% for Hillary.
Yeah, I know. I had
and 90, I had about 85%.
I had 97% for Bernie and 95% for Hillary. I listen, you know.
I thought you were Bernie.
No, I was a Bernie Sanders.
Oh,
one,
no, it was but Bill White. It was Bill, too.
Yeah.
That was even more than me for Bernie Sanders.
Really? Well, I mean, he loves Bernie. You know, anyway, let's go.
He was for, you know, he must have did the one where people are not allowed to unscrew Oreos anymore. You have to bite them from top to bottom.
I have no idea what you're referring to.
Okay.
I don't know.
Micromanagement.
Ah, right. Thank you very much. Okay, New Hampshire presidential Republican. This is the Republicans from the thing. In front first place, according to the CNN WMUR poll, Bush, 16%.
Jeb.
Walker, 8%. Trump, 11%. So Trump is number 2. Walker, yeah. Number 3.
Yeah.
Ron Paul has 9.
He was there last week.
Rubio, 6. Christie, 5. Carson, 5. Fiorino, 6.
Wow.
Cruz, 3. Cruth, 3. Huckabee, 2. Rick Perry, 4.
Wow.
I figure that. There's a lot of crazy people in there.
Yeah.
Kasich, who isn't running yet.
I don't even know who that is.
2. Graham, 1. And Santorum, 0. Oh,
so, this is the one that wants everybody to be civil.
Yeah, everyone be
fuck
civil.
Fuck off, Rick.
Iowa, we have, according to, is in Iowa, Clinton is at 63%, Sanders at 20%, Biden 0, O'Malley 5, Webb 3, and Chafee 1. In the Republican column in Iowa, according to KBUR, Walker's at 18, wow. Bush 12.
Is he a favorite son?
Yeah.
Well, he's from Wisconsin.
Yeah, he's from Wisconsin, and he's fascist. So, you know, there you go. Walker 18, Bush 12, Paul 10, Huckabee 10, Rubio 9, Carson 5, Trump 7, Jesus, right, Cruz 8, Santorum 4, Christie 5, Perry 4, Fiorina 3, Jindal 2, and Kasich 1. So that's according to all of our friends in Iowa. Now, before we go on the big break...
Before
Randy's rant.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
This is a story that picked up the media. This is off of TYT. This got me so pissed off.
The Young Turks.
The Young Turks. We're good friends. TYT picked this up, and I'm just going to play you a bit of this story because I know you knew about it, but...
well, yeah, I read about this too. I was just aghast.
Our friends out there maybe haven't seen it yet, so here's the story from TYT.
George Bush went to go help a very... a great foundation, a needed foundation. It's called Helping a Hero. Let me tell you what it does. Helping a Hero helps to provide specially adapted homes for wounded veterans returning from Iraq and Afghanistan to help reintegrate them into their community. I mean, that's the least he could do, right? I mean, he started those wars, and Iraq we didn't need at all. So many people got killed and injured there. Cost about 5,000 lives for our soldiers and troops. And then, of course, tens of thousands, over 30,000 who were injured there, right? So good for him. Except it turns out there's a little twist. So we go to the Dallas Morning News here. Former President George W. Bush charged $100,000 to speak at a 2012 charity fundraiser for U.S. military veterans severely wounded in Iraq and Afghanistan. That's Helping a Hero, that charity. That's not the direction I would have gone, right? You started the war. They got gravely wounded in that war. Now you're going to charge them money to raise money for them. But he's not alone. The story gets worse. The report also said former First Lady Laura Bush collected $50,000 to appear a year earlier. Not done yet. The report also mentioned that the former president was provided with a private jet to travel to the Houston-based charity at a cost of $20,000, the official said. ABC News broke the story initially.
When I heard that...
Yeah.
My head exploded!
Is that what that...
You fuck! You fucking...
You pompous, stuck-up, snot-nosed, giant, twerp, scumbag, fuck-faced, dickhead, asshole!
Well, these people had to pay an arm and a leg to get him to come.
Oh, God.
Sorry, that was...
That was cruel, but not as cruel... as getting into a fucking war that sends people to hospitals and then charging to say shit to them. And you know what I love? Oh, yeah. I'm pointing now.
He's pointing his finger.
I'm pointing, you know.
He's pointing. And it's
what the fuck kind of speech did Laura Bush put together that was worth $50,000?
It was, she strung two words together and it was worth it just to be there.
You know, and then I have to listen to this kind of like, you know, people say, and I'm serious about that guy came up to me the other day who, you know, talked in relevance to the show.
Yeah, said, yeah. Why do you hate America?
Why do you hate America? I don't hate America, but I know this shit is going on. That this fuck who should be in prison is sitting there painting his feet in the fucking shower, running off, getting $100,000 to speak for wounded veterans that he was responsible for indirectly putting there.
Yeah.
And then dear old wifey cashes in as well.
Yeah.
Are you out of your fuck?
She was there last year. I don't know. Yeah.
Just, I'm sorry. Now, this kind of time.
You're really impassioned.
I'm impassioned.
You're impassioned.
Well, no, there's medication you can take for that.
No, they don't work on me. Let's go.
But then it was like, I showed, this is the last thing I'm going to say before.
Yeah.
I had a response to this. This is the Morning Joe rant. This is
Morning Joe show.
The Morning Joe show, and you know the guy in charge there.
Yeah.
Who I loathe. He went on, Scarborough went on about how Democrats are just so down and negative. We just talk about shit, you know. And why can't we be kind of a little bit more sunny? This is a bit more sunny? I don't know. Have a listen to this shit. This is the 4th of July rant by Joe Scarborough on Morning Joe. Another thing that I listened to that just made my head explode. So here it is, two in
Your
a row.
Your head's not going to take much more
it
of this
isn't.
Exploding.
My brains are leaking everywhere.
Yeah.
Here it is.
You can't afford to lose your mind.
You've got much left.
Yeah, there's left.
Amazing.
It's driving you crazy, but that's not a very big drive.
This is not a drive, it's a short putt. Okay.
You might as well walk crazy.
There you go. Here we go. This is Chuck Scarborough on Morning Joe.
I mean, if you were running against Ronald Reagan, who is optimistic, maybe that's all you could do. I think the problem with the Democrats, certainly with Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton, is they don't really project a sort of positive, sunshine patriot view of America. And I always find, Nicole, when I'm out talking to people, and I talk about all the problems I have, that this country's facing and all of the challenges, when I take a turn, I say, but listen, here's the great news.
Yeah.
We're still the greatest country in the world. Even the Chinese say 8 of the top 10 universities on the planet are ours. There's an energy revolution that happened despite Washington. It was American ingenuity that figured out how to drill sideways, draw more energy up. We totally blew everybody's mind, and now we're going to control the next century. We've got Apple. We've got Intel. We've got the tech sector. We've got the smartest, most brilliant people in the world. Da, 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 da. All we have to do is get Washington out of its way. And I'm not even running for anything.
Wow.
I'm saying it because I believe it. Warren Buffett believes it. He doubled down on America when everybody else was running for the exits, and he made gazillions of dollars. Why doesn't any Republican believe?
Yes, Chuck Scarborough saying, why can't you be more positive?
But the sunniness, I mean, I've never
Reagan was a fucking moron, you know? I mean, the reason we're going through the economic problems we're going through now is
Reaganomics. Yeah, but I think that certainly Barack Obama, I've never seen him more relaxed and comfortable and funny.
Hmm.
Like last week when he hosted the Girl Scout Jamboree on the White House lawn, and he was out, you know, just chatting with
him. Yeah, absolutely. I don't know what he's talking about, really, but I think he's kind of like talking about people who tend to point out the problems of inequities in America. And, you know, yeah, he's talking about all these things. That's true. If you happen to be rich, it's a great place to fucking be. If you're Joe Scarborough, who will never want for a dime, who has
all influential
friends at Apple and all those places, yeah, Chuck, you've got a fucking great, you know.
Yeah.
America's a great country for you, you know.
But not for the, you know, 42% or something.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. The people that used to be the middle class of the United States. But the thing that really pisses me off, and this is it, this is the last thing I'm going to say, is that I'm not unpatriotic, but I think that I am really sick of the Republicans like Scarborough wrapping themselves in the flag for years, but they're the ones that have sold out the country to the corporates. Yeah. You know, they're the ones that have sold country. But they're always running around saying how fucking patriotic and how much they love America.
Yeah.
This
put your money where your mouth is.
But listen, this is I chose a specific Bill Maher comedy clip to go to the break on that talks about patriotism, and I think it was a good response to this Joe Scarborough thing. So I'm going to play it.
I think it's your show. Your name's on it.
I can.
You can do what you want.
Thank you.
Yeah.
So we're going to go straight into this clip by Bill Maher, and then we're going to come back with Randy's Rant.
Is it Randy's Rant? Yeah.
Randy's Rant. Okay. We'll be back after this momentary pause.
Educates, syncopates, radio communicates, radio, the sound of year-round pleasure.
Now, here comes the music.
And finally, new rule. Some conservative somewhere has to explain to me why they think Barack Obama doesn't love America. Because every time I hear him talk about America, my reaction is, get a room. He says things like, in no other country on earth is my story even possible, and America remains the one indispensable nation. And yet, 69% of Republicans say he doesn't love our country. And only 11% say he loves it the right way. But what is the right way? How much should we love our country and how often? What if we want to love it, but it's tired and had a long day? And most importantly, should we love it from behind, or is that demeaning? Now, for the last couple of weeks, as the oceans die, the debt balloons, and we skid back into Iraq, Republicans have been obsessed with a much bigger issue. Does the president love us? It started with America's mayor, Rudy Giuliani, who implied... It does kind of look like him. Rudy Giuliani, who implied that if you criticize America in any way, it means you don't love her. But that's not how grown-ups think about a country. It's the way 13-year-old girls think about One Direction. Obama loves America. It just doesn't make him do this. Because he's an adult, and he knows the difference between his country and his mommy. Liberals love America plenty. They just think Paris is a more interesting vacation spot than Branson. I have no problem listing what I love about my country. For one, we aren't ruled by a hereditary monarchy. The Bushes and Clintons take turns. Two, we come to the aid of people in need. I mean, you know, on a case-by-case basis. Sorry, Rwanda, we'll get you next time. And three, two words, freedom. Face it, we complain, but if you had a choice of any country to be born in for the last 200 years, you'd choose, well, Canada. But after that, totally the U.S. of A. Which is not to say we're perfect. There's a lot to love about it and a lot not to, like our legacy of genocide, slavery and racism, our income inequality, militarism, environmental damage, and the worst mass incarceration on Earth. We lead the world in obesity and use 19% of the world's energy just getting up the stairs. And don't get me started on the guys who paint your house number on the curb without asking first. I mean... But there I go, loving my country in the wrong way with my head instead of my heart, which is how conservatives do it. They love America like those parents who think their kid can never do wrong When a note comes home from school reporting bad behavior, they go in and yell at the teacher. Or, in the case of the school board in Oklahoma, yell at the people who wrote the American history textbook. Yes, the conservatives in Oklahoma these days are waging a battle to get rid of the current textbook because they say it focuses too much on negative aspects in America's past. Like it mentions Japanese internment camps. Why bring that up? It's just going to make things awkward down at the sushi place. Now, when it comes to American conservatives, they're a little like blackout drinkers. They remember all the good stuff about the night before, the laughs, the winning at beer pong, but no recollection of the bad. The pissing in the lobby fountain, groping co-workers, wiping out the Indians. Which is a shame, because you can't turn the page on America's bad stuff if you won't print the page to begin with. If you won't acknowledge that many of the good things America has done are actually reversals of bad things America did. I think it's great that we gave the Indians the casino business in America. And I'm proud of the Emancipation Proclamation. I'm proud of women's suffrage, of the Civil Rights Act, of legal gay marriage in 37 states and counting. But all of that wouldn't have been necessary if we hadn't been dicks in the first place.
At my age, I should know better. I try and do the best I can to manage things like my high cholesterol, but nothing ever seemed to work. So I went to see my doctor, and he told me I might be suffering from a condition that affects lots of people today. Not giving a fuck about what I eat. That's when I found out about the Thug Kitchen Cookbook. It's full of delicious, plant-based recipes that really inspired me to get my shit together, start eating some real fucking food. And now, I'm feeling better than ever.
Who are you?
I remember a time when I thought my kids got enough nutrition from that prepackaged bullshit I'd buy at the store. I was such a lazy fucking asshole. Now that I've got the Thug Kitchen Cookbook, I don't play that shit anymore.
I love to cook good food, but who has the fucking time to hunt down a dozen exotic ingredients just to eat better? Not at my age. Thug Kitchen helps me cut through the bullshit with language that I can understand.
If you or someone you love suffers from chronic drive-through dinners, meat sweats, gut rot, sugar shakes, or just want to get your shit together, see if the Thug Kitchen Cookbook is right for you. Thug Kitchen is not for everyone, including people who might be offended by words like ass, shit, fuck, or motherfucker. Some side effects may include feeling better, looking fly as fuck, saving some goddamn money, and in some cases, increased culinary competence that could lead to becoming a skilled son of a bitch in the kitchen.
So find out today if the Thug Kitchen Cookbook is right for you. You'll be fucking glad you did.
Get out!
Shut up!
Don't get
her.
I'm still here!
Call your mother!
God, you fucking kids!
All
you people
fucking suck! I love surprising you. I hadn't played that for Bill, ladies and gentlemen.
It's just bad.
It's a real cookbook. The Thug Kitchen Cookbook is real. Have a look on Amazon. You'll find it.
Right.
It's basically
get your fucking shit together.
Yeah, get your fucking shit together. That fucking bullshit I used to buy at the supermarket. Yeah. No, it's a real cookbook. Thug Kitchen.
Oh, my God. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we have to play the theme music. Ladies and gentlemen, here it is. Yes, it's Randy's rant time, ladies and gentlemen, and here's Randy.
Thank you, Bill.
My pleasure.
And here is Randy's rant. Okay. Bill O'Reilly show.
Oh, you've changed your voice.
No, I was just doing Bill O'Reilly.
Bill O'Reilly.
Bill O'Reilly.
Bill O'Reilly.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is my rant. It's kind of a continuation of last week's theme.
It's like one long rant.
I always, yeah. That's
right. It's just like one long hum.
Yes, just rantfinity.
Yeah, rantfinity. Okay. So we're...
Okay, don't take me to Grammarly.com or anything.
No.
I'm just saying, ladies and gentlemen, that 2 weeks ago when we did our last show was the morning after, that SCOTUS approved marriage equality, and the Republicans lost their shit. Now, of course, you all noticed that the world ended.
It did.
Yes.
It did.
You all noticed that the rapture happened and, like, everybody...
Two guys got married in Massachusetts and the entire world imploded.
Yeah, so you all noticed that over the last 2 weeks.
Yes.
Well, it didn't happen. No. But you know what? There are a lot of people that have ranted and raved on about it, and they certainly think it's going to happen, but it hasn't happened yet.
Yeah.
Now, the mere fact that you could already get married in 37 American states didn't matter.
Doesn't matter.
No. People hadn't gone ballistic over that.
Last 13 with a kicker.
Well, and also the other ones where the people are saying, I'm not going to get a marriage license. You're going to get a license for me. I've been married 4 times.
And they actually do sound like that.
Yeah, they do.
Every one of them.
Especially, especially without their store-bought teeth in, you know? So
your entire political adversaries are now Walter Brennan. Damn it, I don't like it. Whatever it is, I don't like it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Or Paul Kettle, who used to talk like this.
Yeah, there he is.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen. You noticed that people didn't lose their shit, but over 2 years ago, people did lose their shit.
Yeah.
And the cause celeb has been the Oregon cake bakers. Now,
that story
after 2.5 years, has actually come to a conclusion, or at least come to an erupting head again. And I just thought I'd bring that to you because my rant is about
these... You're bringing me an erupting head.
Stop it.
You started it.
Is this like zits or something?
Okay,
ladies and gentlemen, these two people in Oregon, the Bowman Criers.
Yeah.
Laurel Bowman.
Were they the ones who wouldn't bake the cake for the...
There have been a few of those.
Yeah.
But these are the ones, the two at the... they're Aaron and Melissa Klein.
Right.
The owners of the Sweet Cakes by Melissa Cake Shop.
Sweet Cakes by Melissa!
Yes, Sweet Cakes. So they make...
If I was gay, I'd go there.
Anyway, they make wedding cakes. And in fact, they made a wedding cake... For Laurel Bowman and Rachel Crier a few weeks previously when her mother got married.
Oh, very nice. Yeah, yes.
Remarried.
And they liked
it. It was a $250 cake, beautiful cake. They got on
lovely job with the
two people, Aaron and Melissa Klein. But then when the two, the Bowman Crier couple, decided to go to get married themselves in Oregon. They went in to Melissa Sweet Cakes and said, we'd like you to make our wedding cake.
And what did Melissa say?
And their mother was there as well.
Yes.
And the late Melissa said, well, and the name of the groom. And they sort of looked at each other and said, well, there's no groom. It's the two of us. Well.
No soup for you. No soup for you.
They whipped out the passages from Leviticus. They said, you're an abomination, right to their face. Their mother-in-law was there and everything.
Lovely.
Yeah. So these two, this is January 2013.
Yes.
So this has gone on for 2.5 years.
Right.
Lo and behold, that made headlines everywhere around the world.
Yeah, no, I remember.
Okay, and the Oregon cake bakers. But the thing is, the story was, is they were being persecuted for their beliefs.
Who was? The Oregon cake bakers.
The Oregon cake makers, the Melissa Sweet Cakes. And in actual fact, 2 weeks ago, they were slapped, or 2 months ago, they were slapped with a $135,000 fine. And everybody said, that's a fine against religion. It's a fine against our
the
First Amendment.
The right wing would have said
that. But no, and they were saying it too. But the point is they got it completely fucking wrong. I can't tell. Let's play a little clip from our good friend Pat Robertson, who leads us in.
Okay. Oh, Uncle Pat. Oh, good fun.
Uncle Pat.
Okay, here it is. Uncle Pat talking about...
the cake makers.
The cake makers.
This is just a little curtain raiser.
Okay.
Pizzas, I think, you know, you might as well keep your mouth shut. I'm not sure I would serve pizzas for a gay wedding. Well, most gays, if they're having a wedding, don't want pizzas. They want cake. It's the cake makers that are having the problem. But let me tell you, it doesn't matter what custom you've got. It doesn't matter what holy thing that you worship and adore. The gays are going to get it. They're going to make you conform to them. You're going to say you like anal sex. You like oral sex. You like bestiality. You like anything you can think of that to whatever it is.
Can you please tell me what is the thing that the right has about bestiality?
Well, it's not just bestiality, but what is he fixated about anal sex? They're going to get you to like oral sex. Fuck, I like oral sex, and I'm not gay anyway. So, but he fixates on oral sex, Pat Robertson.
I think Pat hasn't had his clubs out for a year.
Yeah.
Anybody who talks in that much detail.
Anyway, all of the right-wing ratbag... religious right lost their shit. Here's another one.
What? Okay.
Yeah, here's another one. This guy, I've got to say, this guy, I'd never heard of him before.
Right.
He's a pastor. His name is Joshua Furstein.
Yeah.
Okay. And he's kind of a bikey preacher, but he rants. You listen. This guy's good.
Is he? Okay. Here he is, Joshua
Furstein. Sorry.
He's obviously a character in a Mel
Joshua
Brooks film.
Fucking Smith.
Here he is, Josh. Take it away for some good old crazy Josh. Here you go.
Hey, guys. What's up? Josh Furstein here. Look, you've already seen the news article floating around Facebook about the man, the homosexual man, that's already filed a lawsuit, $70 million against two different Bible publishers because he wants homosexuality removed from the scripture. Really? Now, I think I remember saying this a long time ago. I remember telling you guys a long time ago that this was not about gay marriage and equality. I realize a lot of people a couple of weeks ago said, oh my word, this is about love wins. It's about gay marriage. It's about equal rights. This has never been about equal rights because civil unions gave them equal rights. But here's what it's really been about. It's about reconstitutionalizing a term so that now it opens up the door for the left and the liberals to come after Christianity. And I'll prove it to you. Do you realize that this last week, a judge ordered a $135,000 fine against a baker who refused to bake a gay wedding cake. $135,000 fine because he said that it was equivalent to mental rape. Really? Are you joking me? How ludicrous is this? Just to go on to show you that there's a parallel between... Look, Joe Biden came out this last week and said that it was a sad day in America because of all of the religious bigotry that has held back the constitutional rights for the LGBT movement. Really? Now, we're oppressing them? You see what's beginning to go on there? You see how they're beginning to paint Christians? I've been telling you guys for a long time it's happening. And then to top it all off, there's a pastor in Coeur d'Alene, Idaho that they're telling him that if he does not marry gay couples, they're threatening him with arrest and imprisonment. Really? That's his First Amendment right to refuse. Why are we backing down to the government and not drawing a line in the sand? They're coming after our First Amendment constitutional rights. Well, check this out. This is one pastor that will not bow. Why? Because my First Amendment right is guaranteed by my Second Amendment right. Think about that, ladies and gentlemen. It's time that we finally take a stand and say no more. We're not backing up any farther. We're not going to allow a tyrannical government to come in and strip away our rights as Christians and try to demonize us so that they can make the Bible bigoted. It's not going to happen. I'm asking that if you agree with me, if you stand for freedom, I'm asking that you would take a moment and click share. Why? Because if you're silent for too long, it's going to be too late. Click share on the side of the bottom of this video. Like and comment below. If you're not my friend already on Facebook, click my name at the top of the video and let's be friends. God bless. Have a very, very beautiful day.
Okay. Guess who I won't be friending? By the way,
well, you should have seen the big fucking gun that he holds up.
He holds up a fucking gun.
We've got to go on camera, you know.
Well, we do. Yeah. But if only to show the people this. Because he's sitting there like it's a big fucking gun.
Yeah. Anyway, this guy... Joshua Furstein.
Furstein. I don't know if he'd be a friend. I can't even pronounce your name.
Yeah. Anyway, he said this thing about how they were slapped on with this $135,000 fine. No. Do you know what?
Yeah.
They were fined $135,000.
Why?
Because they gave out the address of the lesbian couple.
Well, see, that's why they were fined.
And that's an incredible invasion of privacy.
Of course it is.
Because they were being vilified by... The ratbag right,
yeah,
Christian right.
Yeah.
And then they gave them their address, so out come the firebombs, out come the whatever.
Yeah, but Josh and his gang don't need an excuse to go a little bit crazy.
But so the Sweet Cakes anti-gay wedding cake trial was brought to a conclusion with a fine, not because they were insulted, not because they were discriminated against, but because their privacy was
invaded. Was invaded. And that's, of course,
totally trash.
No one says on the right. Yeah. So, it doesn't matter. I mean, it's kind of just there. Just
they received the, you know, Rachel and her wife received a steady stream of threats that continued.
Oh God.
As the clients promoted their side of the case with national media appearances. So Sweet Cakes is almost did sort of like Duggar Delight. Mm. They really did use the media to make themselves out to be something
else. The offended
party. Yeah, that was us. You know, we, Rachel and Laurel, all they wanted was a cake because they were getting married legally.
Mm.
And these people turned it into this, well, like those Indiana pizza people a couple of months ago, you know?
Well, they were going to bring. They asked for all donations. I think they got hundreds of thousands of dollars. And the first thing they said was, "We'll donate it to charity." And everybody went, "Oh, they're good
bullshit." Bullshit. Yeah.
Then they thought better of it.
Yeah.
Well, some of it to charity, and some of it building a whole new wing on the restaurant.
Yeah. So they by sharing the couple's personal, private contact information, they invaded their privacy. In a commercial transaction, and for that they were fined.
No,
now, here comes the killer.
What's the killer?
Play the next clip.
The next clip. There it is. Is this a surprise for me?
No, I thought I already played it for you. Anyway, just play the fucking clip.
Sorry.
Also, the former owners of a Gresham bakery found guilty of discriminating against a lesbian couple have now been told to pay their big fine by Friday. Melissa and Aaron Klein have been ordered to pay the couple $135,000 for refusing to bake a cake for their wedding. The decision from Labor Commissioner Brad Avakian also slaps a cease and desist order on the Kleins, banning them from advertising their beliefs. The couple contends the ruling is too broad and violates their First Amendment rights.
In a sense, he is telling me, Aaron Klein, a private citizen, that he can tell me to never speak of this again, or I will be guilty of breaking his cease and desist order. That breaks the First Amendment.
We're not going to be silent either. We're not going to stop talking about our faith, and we're not, I mean, that's a part of our life.
Now, the clients say they plan to appeal the judgment against them, but in the meantime, the Labor Bureau isn't backing down either, threatening to put a lien on their house if the couple doesn't contact them about payment. The Bureau also issued a statement that reads in part, there is no gag order preventing the clients from voicing their disagreement with the ruling or their opposition to anti-discrimination laws. The Sweet Cakes decision directs them to pay damages and refrain from discriminating against future customers.
Yeah.
So there.
Yeah.
Shut the fuck up.
Yeah. The reason there was a gag order is they didn't want them bringing up the whole thing and telling them about the address and everything, because it would cause all that to open again.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. You know. But, you know, it makes no difference. Any time in this situation, Christians are always the victims. They're always the victims. They're never
Christ on a stick. They're get down off the cross. It's not about that.
Now, listen, is there another thing that you wanted to bring? Did you have another thing with you?
Well, I sort of didn't like me to do.
Why
to
is give my one more doing thing. This?
Well, actually, We've had something here in the last couple of weeks because, you know, we're trying to have marriage equality
done. We don't have it yet.
Yeah. The last country
because
in the world, I think.
We have a prime minister who's a dick.
But the Presbyterian Church and then the Church of England or the Episcopal Church decided to say, we're not going to abide by the Marriage Act if you approve gay weddings. Now, the ironic thing is their parent churches, the Church of England, Queen Elizabeth II is the head of the church. And the Presbyterian Church in America have already adopted marriage equality into their constitutions and already practice marriage equality.
So you have a list here.
Yeah, I actually have a list. There are many religions that already sanction same-sex marriage.
Oh, right.
Conservative Jewish movement.
Really?
The Episcopal Church, being Church of England in
America. Church of England, I can get it.
The Evangelical Lutheran Church, the Presbyterian Church of America.
Yes.
The Reformed Jewish Movement, which would be the Liberal Jewish Movement, the Quakers, Society of Friends, Unitarians, and the Church of Christ. Now,
Church of Christ, yay!
Now, here are the ones that actually do prohibit same-sex marriage, and that's okay. It's their right.
I mean, I don't go to church anymore.
It's their right. Yeah. And in Australia, The Marriage Act allows you to refuse to marry.
Okay, who are the people?
The American Baptist Church.
Right, don't do it there.
The Mormons.
No, definitely not.
They didn't even believe in black people until 1978. Islam, of course.
Islam, big no-no.
The Lutheran Church of Mazara. The Orthodox Jewish movement, yeah. Or the Chabad. The Roman Catholic Church, the Southern Baptist Convention, and the United Methodist Church.
Yeah, don't like
And the
that.
Ones that they're not sure about is Buddhism and Hinduism. But
what are we not sure?
Well, I don't know. It's not a liturgy and all that sort of thing. People marry in civil ceremonies anyway.
Yeah, right.
So there's that.
I think the Buddhas are just too mellow to care.
Well, there's that.
Yeah, whatever.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, I also have...
Yes?
10 questions.
Right.
To ask any conservative if they continue to freak out about marriage equality.
Well, are you going to read some of them for us?
Well, I was going to read all 10 if I have your permission.
Of course you have my permission.
All right. I mean.
How about you guys out there? Does Randy have the permission to read them?
Yes. Let's hear the cheer squad.
Where's the cheer squad?
The FIIIP cheer squad. Yes.
Fixing it. Give Randy a cheer.
Now, there we go. Considering gay marriage has been legal across the 49th parallel in Canada,
yes,
since 2005, and many other United States, including California, for many years, as well as 18 other nations worldwide, how come God's wrath hasn't come down yet?
Good point.
Question number one.
Good
question
point.
Number two. Since marriage equality has already been in parts of the United States since 2004, like Massachusetts, how has it impacted on your life?
Nah.
In fact, how has homosexuality in general impacted on your life? In a negative way. I mean, a lot of us have gay friends, children.
I guarantee if somebody's having sex in Massachusetts that are gay, it doesn't affect me in the slightest.
No, okay.
Or
considering
in any way.
Atheists and non-Christians have always been allowed to marry in the United States, and no form of religious ceremony is needed at all to be considered married in the United States,
yes.
How exactly is marriage defined by the Bible?
Good point.
Speaking of which, if you believe the Christian Bible defines marriage, did you know... did you then not support or recognize all marriages between people who aren't Christians and did not get married by some form of religious leader are still legally married? If you are so concerned about protecting the sanctity of marriage, then why aren't you pushing for a ban on divorce?
Ah, good point.
And the people having their fourth and fifth marriages.
Yeah.
Now, are you aware that the Bible literally says that if you divorce your wife for any reason sexual immorality,
yes,
and then marry someone else, you're committing adultery.
Oh, my God, yeah. Well.
Which, as you know, is a big no-no according to the Ten Commandments.
It is.
Matthew 19:19, and I say unto you, whoever divorces his wife except... for sexual immorality and marries another, commits adultery. Good on you, Matt. Okay,
wait a minute. Yeah. I know a lot of people.
Yeah. Did you realize
that
by claiming marriage is a state issue,
yes,
and the state is a government institution not allowed to be ruled by theocracy, nor is it created by the Bible?
That's right.
Then you're admitting that marriage has nothing to do with religion. Murphy's Law, snookered. Okay, are you aware that the state's right biblical argument was exactly what racists used in 1967 to justify bans on interracial marriage? Did you know it was still illegal until 67?
Yes, I know that, yeah.
Yeah. In fact, Tyne Daly made a Broadway curtain speech recently at her play on the night of marriage equality, saying, in 1966... this happened to me when I married a black man, and in 13 states...
it was illegal.
Yes. Okay. So, because the Supreme Court stepped in, as happened on June 26, 2015, do you actually think now that it is still not a state right? How many months or years will have to go by with marriage equality throughout the United States before you finally realize that God's wrath isn't coming? For example, if the United States isn't a pile of rubble and ash 5 years from now, will you finally admit you were wrong?
No, of course not.
And number 10.
Yes.
With 60% of Americans in favor of marriage equality and rapidly growing, including 37% of Republicans.
Yeah.
Okay, and rapidly growing. How exactly can you justify conservative politicians who claim they're listening to the American people when nearly 2/3 of Americans disagree with them. I rest my case.
Yes. Yeah. And by the way, you come out on top here because the Supreme Court said, shut the fuck up and bake the cake.
Yeah.
Shut up and do it.
I don't mind the Gestapo saying you can discriminate because that is, in essence, freedom of religion. I don't think people should be forced, certainly not in Australia, to go against their religious beliefs. And there are provisions in the Marriage Act that celibates and churches do not have to...
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, if you're gay and you want to get married in the Roman Catholic Church, I think you got a problem there.
Yeah, and you don't want your cake baked by somebody who's going to spit in it because you force them to do it.
Yeah, some people do that, but
we're not as litigious as Americans are.
Yeah,
we're not going to sue you as soon as look at you. And I think, unfortunately, there are going to be a lot more of those kind of cases in America, but hopefully not here when marriage equality comes in. We'll just take it like Australians.
Like Australians. I don't know what that
don't
means.
Don't go there. Well, you They're know what I mean.
Like, hey, now,
just, I'd like just to, all sort of, she'll be right, mate.
Yeah. I'd like to bring up two little things here, just in our recurring segment, ladies and gentlemen.
Hello. What's all this then?
Two little things. One, Mighty Arby has an article in the upcoming Rolling Stone referring to Eric Holder. That's right, Eric Holder, ladies and gentlemen. He's the Attorney General of the United States who has left the Justice Department. Do you know where he's going?
Let me think. I don't know.
It's a high-paying job.
Of
course he is. You know, this is what Eric Holder said about the banks that he was in charge of, basically prosecuting the banks after the world financial crisis. Well, it turns out that Eric didn't do that much of a good job prosecuting the banks. He got fines out of them, but no one went to jail. This is Eric Holder talking about how he cannot actually prosecute the banks that brought about the world financial crisis.
I am concerned that the size of some of these institutions becomes so large that it does become difficult for us to prosecute them when we are hit with indications that if you do prosecute, if you do bring a criminal charge, it will have a negative impact on the national economy, perhaps even the world economy. And I think that is a function of the fact that some of these institutions have become too large. Again, I'm not talking about HSBC. This is just a more general comment. I think it has an inhibiting influence on, in impact on our ability to bring resolutions that I think would be more appropriate.
So Eric Holder basically said, well, we're not able to actually prosecute the banks and no one should go to jail.
He's also the one that coined that
famous... So no one had a perp walk. The biggest fraud in American history, and not one person from any of the major banks went to big-time jail.
Did they even lose their job?
Huh?
They didn't even lose their job.
They didn't lose their job.
Well, they got a
Nothing
bonus.
Happened.
Yeah.
That's right. You know where Mr. Holder's going back to? He's going back to the friendly law firm of Covington and Burling.
Covington and Burling? Why have I heard that name before?
I don't know. Maybe it's because Covington and Burling represent organizations such as Bank of America, Citigroup, JP Morgan Chase, and Wells Fargo.
Oh my goodness, and Fanny Pack and Bumbag.
That's right. Covington was deeply involved in all those Citigroup, as well as Bank of America, JP Morgan Chase, and Wells Fargo, all deep players in the world financial crisis. Their major attorney or law firm that they go to is Covington and Burling. Covington was also deeply involved with a company known as MERS. Now, you may not know MERS.
MERS
was later shown to be responsible for falsifying mortgage documents at an industrial scale. And it was represented by Covington and Burling. That's right. And you know, no one actually went to prison for that, Randall. They were fined. Holder is going back to a law firm that actually represents the people that he was supposed to prosecute when he was Attorney General.
Well, it's the payoff.
Absolutely. This is Mike Tiabi on Democracy Now!, just with a short squib on how absolutely disgusting. They're not even bothering to hide it, Randall. This is how bought off. And when people like Obama turn around and say, just trust me.
Yeah.
I look at this and I go,
checks in the mail.
Nah, I don't think so. Here's Mike Tiabi.
But what Holder just did just blows Tozin away. I mean, he spent 6 years essentially guiding all of these Wall Street firms, which are, many of them are clients of this of this company that he's now working for. He guided them all back to profitability. He allowed bankers to escape prosecution. And now he's going right back to that firm where he's going to enjoy a very lucrative partnership, whether he ever works again, you know, for the rest of his life.
Yeah, Randy.
That's the payoff.
It's the American way.
Yeah.
Doesn't it depress you?
Well, not really.
But this is Obama. Obama's, you know, attorney general, you know?
He's resigned and he's gone and done something else.
But this is what really pisses me off, like, about Hillary. She's sitting around going, oh, you know, you should trust me. Mm. You know what? No. I don't trust any of you.
Well, that's what
happened. Because of this shit.
We're 2 years into a government that did the same thing. We're not going to cut education. We're not going to cut
They fucking did it. Right here in Australia, yeah. You know, yeah.
Sorry, you misunderstood me. And we're going, I can't believe it. We just got totally ripped off.
You know why Bernie Sanders is articulating this popular rage? Is because Bernie Sanders is actually making rock-solid pronouncements on policy right now.
Yeah.
And he's not bullshitting around. And the place,
and the people like what they hear.
They do. They do. It's always been this disparagement between the, you know, like the policies, you know, call them socialist, and then, you know, you can distance it. But when you talk about policy, most people are around that area.
Yeah.
You know, so anyway, listen, we're going to talk about a little bit of that in our tinfoil hats, but you have something to bring us to a break.
Well, you know what? I wanted to play something, maybe to counter the argument that this show is really negative about America and things like that. And so I found this.
Okay.
A little bit of art.
Okay. So here it is. I've never heard it before.
Yeah, I just wanted to surprise you again, like that commercial for the
the sweary one. That was funny. Okay, here we are. I have no idea what this is. This is taking us to our break with our tinfoil hats from Randall, and it's called America.
Let America be America again. By Langston Hughes. Let America be America again. Let it be the dream it used to be. Let it be the pioneer on the plain, seeking a home where he himself is free. America never was America to me. Let America be the dream the dreamers dreamed. Let it be that great strong land of love where never kings connive nor tyrants scheme that any man be crushed by one above. It never was America to me. Oh, let my land be a land where liberty is crowned with no false patriotic wreath, but opportunity is real and life is free. Equality is in the air we breathe. There's never been equality for me. No freedom in this homeland of the free. Say, who are you that mumbles in the dark? And who are you that draws your veil across the stars? I am the poor white, fooled and pushed apart. I am the Negro bearing slavery scars. I am the red man driven from the land. I am the immigrant clutching the hope I seek and finding only the same old stupid plan of dog-eat-dog, of mighty crush the weak. I am the young man full of strength and hope, tangled in that ancient endless chain of profit, power, gain, of grab the land, of grab the gold, of grab the ways of satisfying need. Of work the men, of take the pay, of owning everything for one's own greed. I am the farmer, bondsman to the soil. I am the worker, sold to the machine. I am the Negro, servant to you all. I am the people, humble, hungry, mean, hungry yet today, despite the dream, beaten yet today. Oh, pioneers, I am the man who never got ahead, the poorest worker, bartered through the years. Yet I'm the one who dreamt our basic dream in the old world while still a serf of kings, who dreamt a dream so strong, so brave, so true that even yet its mighty daring sayings in every brick and stone, in every furrow turned that's made America the land it has become. Oh, I'm the man who sailed those early seas in search of what I meant to be my home. For I'm the one who left dark Ireland's shore and Poland's plain and England's grassy lee, and torn from black Africa's strand I came to build a homeland of the free. The free? Who said the free? Not me. Surely not me. The millions on relief today. The millions shot down when we strike. The millions who have nothing for our pay. For all the dreams we've dreamed and all the songs we've sung and all the hopes we've held and all the flags we've hung. The millions who have nothing for our pay except the dream that's almost dead today. Oh, let America be America again. The land that never has been yet and yet must be. The land where every man is free. The land that's mine, the poor man's, Indians, Negroes, me who made America, whose sweat and blood, whose faith and pain, whose hand at the foundry, whose plow in the rain must bring back our mighty dream again. Sure, call me any ugly name you choose. The steel of freedom does not stain. From those who live like leeches on the people's lives, we must take back our land again. America. Oh, yes, I say it plain. America never was America to me. And yet I swear this oath. America will be. Out of the rack and ruin of our gangster death, the rape and rot of graft and stealth and lies, we the people must redeem the land, the mines, the plants, the rivers, the mountains, and the endless plain, all a stretch of these great green states, and make America again.
It's on us to stop sexual assault.
To get in the way before it happens.
To get a friend home safe.
And to not blame the victim.
It's on us.
To look out for each other.
To not look the other way.
It's on us to stand up.
To step in.
To take responsibility.
It's on us, all of us,
to stop sexual assault.
Learn how and take the pledge at itsonus.org.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, it's that music again. You know it, you love it, you can't live without it. It's that music we listen to when we hate our own heads. It's our tinfoil hat segment tonight. Yeah. But first, I wanted to say...
Yeah, let's give some TFH.
That Langford Hughes poem, I knew nothing about that.
Okay,
That was amazing. Yeah, Tell me a little bit about that.
Langford Hughes was a jazz poet, part of the Harlem Renaissance in the late 30s. That was written in 38. I think it's actually him... recording it in the late 60s, but whoever it is, it's just a wonderful reading of quite a profound poem. And when you realize it was written from the POV of a black man, sort of pre-civil rights, it's even more powerful. But it's still a very powerful thing about America wanting to be America again, and all the people that contributed to it, good, bad, or indifferent, or ugly, or pretty, was great.
Greatness of America. And it is... and a great country.
Yeah, and it can be great again if they look at the values that they once had.
America has consistently recreated itself.
Yeah.
It changes. And the fact that the American people we are able to make changes along the way.
Yeah.
And, you know, I mean, and you hear everything that goes wrong in America. I mean, we talk about stuff that goes on in America.
What? He never mentions God or Christ in that, by the way.
But what I'm just saying is that other countries have worse situations. But America really does throw out all of its laundry into the air.
Yeah.
You know?
Why? Why are they so self-deprecating? I don't know.
Well, no, I'm just saying is that because of a free press, you know, you and I can sit around here for an hour and a half and talk about America.
But the point is we don't do it out of... malice. I think we really do care for the place.
Oh God, I love my aunt.
Yeah, and so anyway, that's
at least that was wonderful.
Yeah, Langston Hughes.
Yeah,
you can read it. The text is there. There are many recordings of it. A lot of students do it in high school speech groups.
That was very good.
And also, I just want to say that sexual assault ad, that's Barack Obama.
Is Barack Obama in that?
In there, yeah. Putting his name out there for a cause.
As much as I don't like the some things that Obama does, but I'll tell you, man, I've never been more proud than the last few months when the Charleston shooting thing happened, of having Barack Obama as president.
Yeah, and he did you hear him sing?
That one where he sang Amazing Grace.
Spontaneously, a cappella, and everybody picked up with him.
You know, I mean, it's just, you know, he has that power to inspire.
Yeah.
Which kind of George Bush, you know.
Well,
let's all go to war. But
my father's still telling, you know, towelhead Muzzy jokes.
Your father.
About King Hussein, and I'm going, you're just not listening, are you?
Yeah, that's not listening. Come on, it's getting old. Okay. This are tinfoil hats. We should tell you what a tinfoil hat is. You've got an old favorite.
Yeah.
Ricky.
Little Rick Santorum, yes?
Yes. Evidently, he was asked a question on the campaign trail about his previous comments that he made.
About marriage equality.
Yeah, and he was absolutely sure that if we had gay marriage, we'd have...
bestiality. It was his man on... It was his man on dog.
Yeah.
Man on dog. Man bites dog. Man does something else to the dog. Yeah. Anyway,
gay and bestiality goes together like a horse and carrot.
But the point is that in America, in some U.S. states, bestiality is at best a misdemeanor. But in some states, it is actually legal.
Before then, let's have a listen to Rick Santorum.
Let's have a listen to
your tinfoil hat. Ricky basically coming up and saying, yeah, I was right about that bestiality thing. Don't you wait. Let's see what's going to happen.
Interview that you did 10 years ago, the man of dog interview that caused so much kerfuffle. Well, the point you made in that interview was that if gay marriage is legal, then that opens the door for things like polygamy to be legal.
What I said is that if you have the right to consensual sexual activity, and that was the issue, then it opens the door to a variety of different things. And
does this ruling do that?
I think there's no question. Well, this ruling did it. I mean, this really followed up with what I said would happen if the Supreme Court ruled the way it did. And the Supreme Court has followed their line of reasoning that I identified at very early on, that if consensual sexual activity is a constitutional right, then we have to it leads logically in the courts, as you saw in the court's opinion, that all things that all other rights come with that.
So and the next step is legal polygamy, is that right?
I mean, that's up for the court to decide, but I don't see a legal basis that they would, based on the decisions they've made, that would argue against that. I mean, I think they've certainly opened the door to a variety of other things that are going to happen, and that's for the court to figure out where they're going to go.
So polygamy and bestiality are just a heartbeat away, Randy.
Polygamy and what is it? All the women polygam. Polyandry. Polyandry is where you have one wife and many husbands.
Really?
So polyandry is the opposite of polygamy.
Wow.
Polygamy is one husband and many wives.
I'm learning so much.
Yeah. In some places, that's not illegal. In Australia, you can have multiple wives. Let's say you come from Malaysia or the Middle East, but only one wife is legal under the eyes of the law.
Yeah.
So it's just condoned. It's not illegal.
It's not illegal.
To have multiple wives or multiple husbands.
That's
or
right.
Multiple wives.
Now, you've actually pinpointed something on the net.
You are learning something.
Tickle because of course the original
did it
thing
tickle
was
you?
No, not really. It was Rick Santorum talking about originally. He was talking about man on dog, which is their obsession. They love the talk about bestiality. I swear to God,
anal sex. Poor Pat, he's really fixated.
He's fixated on all their little openings. Yeah. But okay, so Bestiality, evidently, though, you researched this. And this is
I didn't research it. I just knew it.
You just knew
bestiality
this.
Bestiality is legal don't in people, many U.S. states.
It is. And you'd be but surprised.
It's, but it's especially in the states that still ban
homosexuality
and same-sex marriage.
So, okay, Rick, so, you know, you're wasting your time. What are the states that I could still find a very attractive dog or cat?
Sexual perversion is entrenched in the law. Bestiality is legal in 36% of American states.
Woo-hoo!
Now, it's a misdemeanor in 19 states.
I love
states.
America.
Donuts. Sheep.
Sheep.
It's a deer. Doe. A deer. A female
a
deer.
Female deer. Go ahead.
I made myself laugh.
Yeah, I know. You did.
All right. So bestiality is only a misdemeanor in 19 states.
All right.
Okay.
So, you know,
and it's
traffic
a felony in 16 states,
very
but in 18 states.
Yep, and get it.
Districts and territories.
Get a load of the states.
It is completely legal. Alabama.
Alabama. Sure,
Arkansas,
legal. Yep.
Washington, D.C. Can't forget that one.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, Guam.
Guam.
Hawaii. Kentucky.
Yep.
Kentucky. Frisky Polynesians, yeah.
Yeah.
Montana, Nevada, New Hampshire,
yep.
New Jersey. I always thought Chris Christie was a bit of a pig. Yeah, New Mexico,
hey,
Ohio, Texas, Vermont, Virginia, West Virginia, Wyoming. Now,
you know that chicken over there is kind
okay,
of
this I'm quoting now.
Yeah.
The ideological thrust of these bestiality fifth columnists is obvious. When one compares where this perversion is accepted, are the same places that same-sex marriage is banned.
Yes. That's ironic.
Right. It is irony. It's mainly with horses. I don't know why.
So it's
mainly a lot to do with horses. But, you know, the old potty calves and lambs.
Catherine
and,
the Great jokes. You know,
Yeah. It gets a bit long in the
highbrow broadcast. I know
only
that all of you
three states do not ban bestiality, but do endorse same-sex marriage.
So take notes.
New Hampshire, New Mexico, and Vermont.
Yep.
But I don't know why those laws are even there, or if it's just
it's
overdone.
Not
so the burning question is there a correlation between bestiality and homosexuality? Obviously not, because bestiality has been there for a lot longer than legal homosexuality.
Yes. And I'd like
so you're barking up off the wrong tree.
And I'd like
Rick's,
you to meet my wife, Daisy.
Yeah. Rick, you're barking up the wrong tree there. Okay,
well, listen, that's your tinfoil hat. Rick Santorum is absolutely sure that bestiality is coming to, and polygamy are coming to
what's
a theater
state?
Near you.
What's his state? Was
Pennsylvania.
No, is Rick Santorum, his state's from
Pennsylvania.
Okay, his state.
Were you looking up his state of Pennsylvania?
No, he's the one that it's a misdemeanor.
Yes.
So
just a traffic ticket. Rick.
Yeah, if you're parking, you're pricking a goat, you get a parking ticket. Yeah.
Okay. Now, I have decided to end the show with a man who needs no introduction in the world of dictum. He is, of course, Greg Gutfeld from the Five at Fox.
Mm.
Greg Gutfeld. The amount that Greg Gutfeld actually knows about socialism would be kind of thimble-sized. He's not very brainy on what socialism is. So he took this chance to go in and on the attack on our good friend he is a friend of the show, Bernie Sanders. And by the way, he was a friend of the show long before you guys got out of him. We liked him a long time ago. But Greg Gutfeld, and I want you to actually have a listen to this.
Because
I found this absolutely amazing. Greg Gutfeld going in on Bernie Sanders in the non-funny way that he has. He was the answer to Jon Stewart for Fox.
Oh, okay.
Because evidently he was viewed as being, you know, funny. So here's Greg Gutfeld going in on Bernie Sanders. You can tell that they're scared, ladies and gentlemen. Here they are.
Bernie Sanders is a good politician. It's all he does. He's been running for office since 1972, affording him the luxury of selling a failed ideology that never requires purchase. Socialism, a harmless thing until it finds real power, then it's deadly. For if he could, Bernie would gladly turn us into Greece, or worse, Venezuela, where toilet paper rolls are emptier than Athens ATMs. This dope once adored the Sandinistas, a toxic bunch of commies. Sanders is so nutty, most kids should be allergic to him. So why does the media overlook this? The press loves the guy because they assume his bad ideas may never see the light of day, but one can dream. He wants to raise the tax rate for top earners to more than 50%, the highest in 30 years, after the worst recovery in history. His goal is not to get America back on its feet, but to put it under for good. He wants free tuition for colleges, a great idea if you think money grows on bongs. He said he'd hire Paul Krugman for his cabinet, which is like hiring Jeffrey Dahmer as your chef. Oh, God. He applauded Greece's no vote, which is like applauding two lovers as they jump off a tall building, which really is socialism, a leap that always ends badly. Inevitably, you just run out of cash, just like you run out of distance between roof and sidewalk.
This is why Americans have this thing on socialism, because they've got assholes like this who have no fucking idea. Look, do you know, let me just say one thing, right? Finland, Sweden, all these Norwegian countries that are socialist are handing America its hat when it comes to all education and health, and listening to someone like Greg Gutfeld go on, he doesn't know fucking anything about a socialist country.
Okay.
Yes.
I'm going to give you another list.
Yeah.
There are 75 ways that socialism has helped America.
Tell us some of them.
Well, you just mentioned some of them. Just military and defense.
Yeah.
The largest, most funded socialist program in the world is the Army, Navy,
and Air Force. Of course it is. They, absolutely.
Highways and roads are all paid for and funded.
Socialist, baby.
Public libraries, police, fire department, postal service, student loans and grants, bridges, garbage collection, public landfills, war.
Yes.
Farm subsidies, the CIA, the FBI,
yeah.
Congressional health care, Obamacare, the polio vaccine, the EPA,
yeah.
Social Security,
yeah.
You know, that old thing from FDR,
yeah.
Museums, public schools, public education, jails and prison.
So do you hate socialism now, Greg?
Corporate business subsidies.
Oh, you like those,
the VA,
Greg.
The VA.
You like those.
Public parks.
Yeah.
Every single elected government official, because you get to elect them, and they're not just the hired list, and put out there.
The list stamps, goes on
sewer
and
system,
on.
Medicare, court system. All right, I'm getting a wind-up, ladies and gentlemen. Okay, the GI Bill. There's one.
Yeah, there's one, the GI Bill. All these things are socialist programs, but not on the fact that, oh, you know what really fucking is? That he's sitting there talking about Greece as an example of bad socialism. Greece is an example of a country put completely under in debt. Not only did they have mismanagement, they had some mismanagement, but you know what killed Greece? The world financial crisis. Do you know the people who are responsible for the world financial crisis? Those are the people that never went to jail.
Exactly.
Why? Because people like Eric Holder didn't even prosecute them. I mean, they went under because of the world financial crisis, and now they are being forced to privatize everything they have, and 25% of the elderly in Greece are in poverty. Well, it's 50% of the elderly and 25% of people unemployed.
Do you want an irony alert?
What?
The fact that after World War II, Greece forgave Germany of all of its debts.
Yeah, I know. No.
And they'd even been invaded and butt-fucked by the Germans.
The fact
as well.
Is that Gutfeld doesn't know what the fuck he's talking about. Mm. He has absolutely no idea. We live here in... We have socialized medicine. We have...
But they have socialized medicine now. Flu, the vaccine.
Not as much as we do. Because,
insurance.
I mean, if I get sick, I just go to the doctor.
Yeah.
That's it.
The Food and Drug Administration.
And it's terrible, isn't it? Just terrible.
Unemployment insurance.
Yeah.
City buses.
Yes.
Welfare, the CDC.
You're reading off all the things that
I've only got up to 50. There's still another 25 to go.
There's 75.
So anyway, ladies and gentlemen.
Look, could we direct people to go to thebillshow.net?
It's on our website.
And there's a list of 75 reasons why you should like socialism and why Greg Gutfeld's
a friggin'
idiot.
Because you've been living with it for your whole life.
He's a friggin' idiot. You know, he's just a friggin' world-class fucking moron.
And socialism is not communism.
I am going to give Greg Gutfeld the golden fart. And here it is, just for you, Greg.
Farting in post.
Fart in post.
Fart
in post. Do you like that?
Yeah,
fart in post.
Yeah,
fart in post. That's the golden fart for Mr. Greg Gutfeld.
He deserves
big,
it.
Big, we say we had Rick Santorum and Greg Gutfeld.
They
hand
receive
in
our tinfoil hats.
Now, you have yet to introduce the one person who's been in the recording studio through this entire thing.
Who, Willow?
Willow, the dog.
Willow the farting dog.
You've got a lovely dog here.
No, she farts.
She's lovely. She does. She's got the old dog.
Do I have to put a picture up on the website?
Put a picture up on the website.
You forgot to do your trivia question.
Oh, I have to do our trivia question. Okay, we're at 128, so this is like an hour and a half, really, thing.
Well, we've been an hour and a half for the last five or six shows.
I guess so. Well, listen, look at, if you want to catch any of the articles that we're referring to here, we haven't updated the website for a while, but we're going to. Trust me, this week.
No, we do. I do it all the time.
But I'm going to update the videos on the website and everything like that. Before we go,
yeah,
I came upon an earworm.
Oh, yeah, an earworm.
You know an earworm? There's a song that gets in there.
It gets in your head and you cannot get it out.
Now, here's a trivia question. I want you all to write us on the Bill Show on XPR at gmail.com.
Or
thebillshow.net. But if you just want to respond to this, this little quiz, here it is. I want you, nothing to sneeze at. I want you, girls and boys, to listen to this. This is one of my favorite commercials when I was growing
up. Plop, plop, fizz, fizz, oh, water relief.
No, it's not that one. I want you to listen to it. I'm going to ask you a question about it, and you have to tell me the answer for a prize. Okay, here it is.
There is a real prize.
There's a real prize. You give me an address, and I'll send it. But you got to get this one right. Okay, here is the cat.
I drink Dr. Pepper, don't you see? Because it's the perfect taste for me. That original taste, you know. Wouldn't you like to be a pepper too? Us peppers are an interesting breed. An original taste is what we need. Ask any pepper and he'll say, only Dr. Pepper tastes that way. There's carrying peppers, marrying peppers, dying peppers, quiet peppers. Wouldn't you like to be a pepper too? There's saluting peppers, tooting peppers.
I'm not a pepper man.
Wouldn't you like to be a pepper?
This is the Dr. Pepper commercial, Randall.
There's them trying to get over the I like to teach the world to sing and all those things.
That's right. It's one of those earworm commercials from the 70s, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah. Now, the lead actor, I want you to tell me his name and what major motion picture in the early 80s did he feature in? It was a major motion
major motion picture.
And then he just disappeared.
Yeah.
So who is it in the Dr. Pepper ad?
I'm a pepper, yeah. You're a pepper.
And if you get the right, you got to get the actor and the film. Okay, and if you send that to me, the first person who sends that to me, at the Bill Show, or send it to Randy or me at the Bill Show on XPR at gmail.com. And if you send me that and an address so that I can send something to you from Australia, you will get one of the Rachel Maddow style prizes. You know those Rachel Maddow prizes? Yeah. She's like little stuff that they have around the office. I will send you something from Australia.
Yeah.
I promise.
And I know what it is because I suggested it.
Yes, it is. Yeah. It's a car. No.
I knew. Oh, Oprah.
Okay, so that's it for show now 124, ladies and gentlemen.
They say we never make it. Let's say goodbye.
We'll say goodbye.
I hope you've stayed with us to the bitter end.
To the bitter end.
Well, if you're hearing this now, you have.
You have. So let's wave to the people.
Bye.
Bye, Randy. Bye, Randall. See you later.
Bill.
Bye, kids out there. Bye.
Bye. Bye.
Now it's time to feed them, give them their meds, and pack them away till next time. So long and good night from the Bill Show.